One of the things that impresses me when I think about different cultures and societies through the world, through different times, is really how similar that different people are. Obviously, we have our differences, but when you just look at people that live in different places, have lived in different times, you understand something about how they are. People are really similar. And I love seeing old pictures of people or old portraits of people. And sometimes you can see a portrait of someone or a statue of someone who lived hundreds of years ago, maybe more. And you just get the sense that these people weren't really all that different than we are today. And that being the case, one of the things we can take from that is how much we can learn from other people, which is an aspect of what the scriptures are to us, is lessons that we can learn. We think about the people in the Old Testament and how long ago they lived, and then yet in many ways, how similar that they are to us. And that being the case, the example that we have of them, the lessons we can learn from their lives. In our time together today, I wanted us to think about the life of Joshua and some of the lessons we can learn from Joshua's life. So I want us today to think about five lessons from the life of Joshua. There might be some ways we think about Joshua and his times as being a lot different from our own. But then on the other hand, there's some great lessons we can learn. There's some ways we're not really that different from even somebody like Joshua and the times that he lived. Before we look at those five things, I wanted us to start with some verses we come across at the end of the life of Joshua, at the end of the book of Joshua. In Joshua 24, verses 29 through 31, it came about after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the territory of his inheritance in Timnath-Serah, which is in the hill country of Ephraim, on the north of Mount Gash. Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders who survived Joshua, and had known all the deeds of the Lord which he had done for Israel. If we begin this morning at the ending of the life of Joshua, he's referred to as the servant of the Lord. And what stood out to me as I read this is that the servant of the Lord is said to have been influential in Israel having served the Lord all the days of Joshua. So Joshua, as a servant, apparently helped others to serve. And what a great example that that is for us. The idea of influence, of helping others, of leading others, that here is someone who was a servant and he helped others to serve. And so what if we thought about our own lives as an opportunity to be a servant of the Lord who then helps others to serve? So when we begin at the end of the life of Joshua, we see he was a servant who helped Israel to serve. Well, what sort of a person was he? What sort of things did he do? And we're going to look at five of those. And perhaps as we look at those five things, it can help us think about our own lives and how we can be better servants who in turn help others serve. So we're going to look at five lessons from the life of Joshua and look at some scriptures that go along with each of these. One lesson that I think is appropriate for us to take from the life of Joshua is to be people of humility. To be a servant implies humility. And we see that in his life, that he seems to have been a person of humility, a humble person. We see Joshua back in the book of Exodus. In Exodus 24 and verse 13, it says, "So Moses arose with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up to the mountain of God." Joshua here is referred to as an assistant, or your translation might say servant. Joshua isn't the primary person. He's not the person in charge. He's not the number one leader here. When we're introduced to Joshua, he's an assistant. He's a servant. He's serving in more of a helping sort of a role. Again, in Exodus 33 and verse 11, when Moses returned to the camp, his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent. Joshua begins as an assistant, as a servant, as a helper. And it takes humility to be a person who functions in that role. To be a person who's willing to be an assistant, a servant, a helper. There's different times and different seasons when we all maybe are called upon to do different things, to fulfill different sorts of obligations or roles. Here with Joshua, this season of the story of his life, he's a helper. He's a servant. He's an assistant to Moses. And we need to be willing to step into roles of humility, of service, of assisting. Jesus, of course, is the greatest example of one who does that. We look at the life of Jesus and he's a true servant. He comes into the world and washes feet. He's willing to do things and fulfill roles that, frankly, the society of that time would have viewed as being demeaning, not very important. But Jesus is the truest example of humility. And when we think about our own lives, we think about lessons we can learn from somebody like Joshua, we need to be humble. We need to be willing to serve, to assist, maybe at times to do things that might not get very much recognition or notice. And that really is the whole idea of being a servant. That it's not about me. It's about glorifying God, about doing something that extends beyond me, seeking recognition or notoriety or any sort of thing like that. And we see that in Joshua's life. He starts off as an assistant, a servant, a helper. Ephesians 4 and verse 2, it says, "With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love." We need to be people of humility. And as we think about being servants who can help others serve, we have to be humble. We have to be willing to be people of humility. A second thing that we can see from the life of Joshua is that he's a person of faith. We've talked before about what that word faith really means, that it has to do with trust, with confidence. And Joshua really exemplifies the idea of trust and of confidence. One of the things we might think about is if you remember when they go to spy out the land, and there's an overwhelmingly bad report that's given, that we can't do this, we can't do it, it's just too much. But then it's Caleb and Joshua who give a different sort of report, a report that expresses trust and confidence and faith. And they say in Numbers 14 and verse 8, "If the Lord is pleased with us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us. a land which flows with milk and honey. A statement like that is a great example of really what the word faith means. It's a forward-looking trust and confidence in what God is able to do. This is a thing in the future. But they say that this is something that God will do, that God can do. They have trust, they have confidence when the people around them don't share that same faith, don't share that same trust and confidence. Another example we can look at, do you remember the marching around the city? What another great example of faith, trust, confidence. Joshua says in Joshua 6 and verse 7, then he said to the people, "Go forward and march around the city and let the armed men go on before the ark of the Lord." Go forward and march around. When I think about something like this, I think about other instances in the Bible. Things like Noah building an ark because that's what God had asked him to do. These occasions in the Bible where people go out and do something that to the people around them honestly maybe looked a bit foolish. Noah out there building an ark. The people here out walking around the walls. What are these people doing? Why are they doing this? But it's faith, it's trust, it's confidence in what God has said and that God can do what God has said. This is used in the book of Hebrews as an occasion of faith. In Hebrews 11 and verse 30, "By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. Are we people of faith? Do others see faith in us? Having faith is a great example to others. When in the midst of difficulty and chaotic situations, somebody has that calming presence of trust and of confidence and the belief that while we don't understand everything, God's in control, things will work out, everything will be okay. That can be profoundly impactful to other people who might then wonder, where does that trust come from? Where does that faith come from? We see Joshua as a person of humility, a person of faith. And Joshua is a person of God's word. When we think about God as being a God who speaks, a God of communication, we looked several weeks ago at the life of Abraham and saw how in the chapters about Abraham, so many of those talk about God said to Abraham, and then Abraham will do something. And this idea of the word of God, the word of the Lord, being so central to Abraham's life. And we see that throughout the Old Testament. We see that with the life of Joshua, that Joshua is one who has a great respect for what God has spoken, the word that God has spoken, to remember that, to uphold that. In Joshua chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, Joshua said, "Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, 'The Lord God gives you rest and will give you this land.'" He says, remember the word. Remember the word that came through Moses from the Lord. Remember the word. This is how Joshua chapter 1, this is the beginning of the book of Joshua. This is how it begins. With Joshua saying, remember the word. This is what we need to be doing. These are the kind of people that we need to be. People who remember the word. So we see that in the beginning of Joshua. But then at the end of Joshua, as his life is coming to a close, we see the same sort of thing again. At the beginning, he says, remember the word, and then quite similarly at the end of his time, in Joshua 23 and verse 6. Be very firm then to keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, so that you may not turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left. So both in the beginning of this journey and then also at the end, remember what God has said. Keep it. Do it. Live it. Don't turn away from it. And this is what Joshua told the people. I think it wouldn't be reasonable for us to think that there was no sin committed during this time, or that Joshua and those who lived during his time were just perfect or anything like that. But hopefully as we go through this, we highlight really the sort of person that Joshua was. Who he was, who he wanted to be. He's a person of humility, of faith, a person of God's word. And all of these things that we're going through really are very connected. When we look at God's word and we read about all that God has done, that ought to build up our faith. Build up that trust and that confidence. And when we think about who we are in relation to God, that's a very humbling sort of thing. So Joshua is a person of humility, of faith, of God's word. A fourth thing in the life of Joshua that stands out is that Joshua was a person of prayer. Not only is Joshua a person who remembers what God has spoken and greatly values that, it seems he also greatly values the opportunity for that to go the other direction, if you will, that we also can speak to God. Maybe the best example of this is where it says in Joshua 10 and 14, after Joshua has prayed for the sun to stand still, it says, there was no day like that, before it or after it, when the Lord listened to the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Joshua, obviously, here is being portrayed as a person of prayer. And again, think about how all these things we're looking at are related to each other. These aren't just standalone, isolated things. He's a person of prayer. He speaks to the one who has spoken first, which is what prayer is. He's a person of trust, of confidence, of faith. Prayer is related to that as well. The book of James talks about that. That what true prayer is really believing that God can do things. It's not doubt, but rather it's trust, it's faith. And again, as we work backward through that list, how humbling that really is. That we can communicate, can speak to the God who created all things. Well, the fifth and final thing that I want us to consider this morning is that in the life of Joshua, we see somebody who really puts God first. Maybe the most well-known verse out of the whole book, the whole narratives of Joshua, is the part of Joshua 24 and verse 15 where it says, where Joshua says, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." This is one of those verses that has become a much loved verse from the Bible. And we see it printed on different things, maybe on magnets or pillows or a painting or something a person might have in their home. And sometimes with those sort of verses, we might become really familiar with it, which is a good thing. But maybe because we've seen it so often or heard it so often, we can maybe fail to really stop and think about it. It is a line that it sounds nice. It sounds encouraging. We even have a song in our hymnal written off of this. But what is really being said here, and what Joshua is saying, is that if everybody else goes away, if everybody else gives up and quits and doesn't express that faith and that trust and that confidence, "As for me and for my house, we will serve the Lord." And what a profound statement that really is. When we think about our day and age and our times, and we might feel at times like a minority, a shrinking minority, what truth is expressed here in Joshua's statement that even if everybody else goes away, even if everybody else turns aside, even if everybody else gives up on their faith, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And if all of us have that mentality, that even if it's just down to me and my house, we'll keep going. If all of us have that mentality, how then encouraging is that to all of us? That here's a group of people who are willing to confess, no matter what comes our way, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And that really is what we are to be as the church, as the people of God under the new covenant in the New Testament. That this is to be our confession of faith, if you will. Well, when we look at the life of Joshua, and then we look at our own lives, think for a moment about that comparison, or maybe some ways that our life could maybe line up a little bit better with some of these things we've talked about. He was a person of humility, starting off as an assistant, a servant. He's a person of faith and of trust, doing things and saying things when he is in the minority, when other people aren't willing to do the same. He's a person of God's word, who says, "Remember the word. Remember what was spoken. Don't turn to the left or turn to the right of it, but stay with it." He's a person of prayer, who has faith in the God who has spoken, but then he prays, he speaks, and sees God's mighty works. And then finally, he's a person at the end who says, "No matter what, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord," a person who puts God first. And so let's think about our own lives and how these five things shouldn't just remain in the life of Joshua, but should be a part of our lives as well. If you are here this morning and you need to truly begin putting God first, we do that by confessing our faith, by really believing that Jesus is God's Son, by deciding we're going to live a new life and being baptized. If we can help you do that this morning and have that new start and have forgiveness, we would love to be able to help you do that. Or if there's anything else that we can assist you with today, while there's still time, please let that be known as we stand and sing.
Have an affection been lifted from